Welcome to Fables of the Force,
a Star Wars rewatch podcast.
I'm Scott.
I'm Matt.
And this is our show.
Welcome everyone to episode 116. We'll be finishing up this duology, The Disappeared Part 1 and 2. Today we'll discuss Part 2. It originally airs the 9th episode of Season 6.
Lost.
So, we're in the Temple of Doom. Bad stuff. Bad guys, bad plots, scary things. And it's up to Mace and Jar Jar Binks to save the day, solve the scary mystery, stop the bad guys. The fortune cookie at the beginning, wisdom, is born in fools as well as wise men. I think, like we talked about in the last episode, how if Mace and Jar Jar are our heroes, their roles seem sort of reversed. The fool just be Mace in this case.
I do. You mentioned it a little bit in the previous episode, but a kind of parallelism with the Bordatans in the Republic. They have this dark temple hidden beneath their temple and that's beheld to this prophecy. And there's these cultists that are going to be rising up. And
darkness,
you know,
will reign.
Yeah.
All the masters will disappear.
Yeah.
So you have Mother Talzin, who's no fool. She's already had dealings with Palpatine and with Dooku that haven't fared super well. Her whole clan was pretty much wiped out. She was almost killed. She's in a situation at this point where she's almost desperate, right? And she can sense through the Force the darkness that Palpatine is emanating and knows that something's coming. Maybe not what, but something bad is coming. More than just this war, something bigger than that she can see coming. And so she, much like a Sith would do, utilizes misdirection and lies by taking a prophecy that existed on this planet and using her magic to exploit the prophecy to gain power. In this case, by literally stealing life force from these like peaceful, impartial, totally neutral beings who aren't trying to hurt anybody.
Yeah,
they just happen to have this prophecy about a dark time in when all their masters just say, oh, yeah, I could totally do that. Like, that's easy.
Yeah.
And just like always, everyone has a price. And she finds someone within the culture there to do all of her bidding.
I found that the planet was similar in design to the underwater Gungan city on Naboo. Just this like dark blue with this circular orange structure.
Spherical.
Just made me feel like they were intentionally trying to make Jar Jar seem at home a little bit. Mm-hmm. He is definitely a little bit more his clumsy self in this episode. And Mace is back to being good at what he's doing again. I did love that there was a Zygerian with a pet.
That was interesting.
It's a Lothcat, but if not strictly from Lothal, they're called a Watuki.
I believe something like that, yeah. Sounds right. I like that this story shows balance being sought in more ways than just the Jedi-Sith conflict.
Mm-hmm.
That not just that seesaw. Because Talzin's seeking power because of the rise of Palpatine, the rise of the dark side. She's seeking power, one, because she's of the dark side, and that's one of the things the dark side does, is seek power.
Mm-hmm.
But also, she's trying to prevent her own extinction.
Yeah.
If she'd have stayed on her own planet, on Dathomir, doing her own thing, but because her power was a potential threat to Palpatine's, he had to do something to disrupt that. And that forces her to have to retaliate too, right? Like, she can't just get taken out, so she's going to have to try to do something. This is her bid for power here. This is sort of like Maul and his bid for power, creating a whole new third power in the galaxy, not the Separatists, not the Republic, not a disbanded group of pirates or disparate, you know, crime syndicates, one huge, sharp, pointy crime syndicate that could fight either one, the Separatist or the Republic, carving his own way, right? So same thing that happened to Hondo. Yeah. They left him alone. Hondo would have stayed in his little corner of the galaxy, pirating and doing his own thing. Made his little empire. But then the Empire had to get involved. Palpatine had to get involved. You know, forces him to escalate. And it's just balance being sought, not just from one side or the other. It's just kind of in all these little places.
Yeah.
Power draws power.
Yeah. I love just, again, sort of peeks forward. They say the Great Mother will rise and take care of you, Jedi. A new order will arise. I just thought that was... I feel like these ideas have been jangling around a little bit for a while, you know?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Mace is better than he was last episode.
I was actually thinking that, too.
And it made me think of the benefits of having a Padawan.
Yeah.
Yes, in the Star Wars world, you know, perhaps the council should always be with a Padawan. I can't think of a Padawan Mace had in the however many years. You know, I guess he could have had an apprenticeship between
right, there's time that we don't know about, but yeah.
But it stands to reason that he doesn't take on Padawans anymore.
We know that the Masters did. That was in the audio book, the Dooku audio story. Mm-hmm. The council talked about choosing Padawans and stuff to take. So it was something they did do, we know Yoda had a Padawan in Dooku.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. They don't all seem to take, and we didn't really see much about it, but obviously Depa Balaba had a Padawan and so some did. But.
I just feel like Mace really grows a little bit in this arc and comes to understand not only Jar Jar better, but the world better. And I think to myself, he's treating him like a Padawan in so many ways in this episode. And it's bringing out
from it.
It's bringing out the best in Mace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he exhibited a lot of patience this time. He dropped a lot of good Jedi wisdom from the things he was saying. And, you know, despite his behaviors to the contrary rest of the time, he said a lot of really valuable stuff in this episode.
Yeah.
I love having Jar Jar getting a love interest. I think that's so super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really fascinating, the Night Sisters exploiting a force worshipping civilization to gain power. Mace Windu on full display, like another big nod to the plot of the Sith. It was almost like this is a reflection or a ripple it's so similar to what's really going on under the Republic, you know?
I love that they sort of talked a little bit about how Talzin uses dark magic to achieve her force ability, that it's not natural mm-hmm. for her. And so she's trying to steal the natural force ability from the queen.
It's really interesting.
And she wants to then, her magic that she's manufactured with dark spells and the queen's natural ability, she'll be able, you know, more powerful than them all. Like, I love that she's making like her big move because she's forced to because of the times, as you were mentioning.
And the dark magic, the Night Sister's magic is so interesting. I love when we see any other applications of the Force. The Mortis arc was definitely an odd arc, but seeing the Force in kind of like these gods was interesting. But seeing it in ways religious stuff is also really fascinating to me. Like, the Night Sisters are really interesting, and we got to see a little bit of it in Rebels with the...
Lasat.
Fantastic. Really, really interesting. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode, Jar Jar's final appearance.
Gotta love Jar Jar.
Join us for our next episode where we will begin the final arc, season 6 of The Clone Wars. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this long while we talked and talked and talked about Star Wars. We're going to do it some more next time. Join us for that. In the meantime, you can find us on the internet, fablesoftheforce.com. You can find us on Instagram at Fables of the Force, on Twitter at Force Fables. Hit us up. Talk some Star Wars or whatever else you need to talk about.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed this episode and that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Scott.
I'm Matt.
And may the Force be with you.